waiting for this for like 4 weeks. Aaron Kennan shows up this morning. He's with Clear Harbor Asset Management. We're thrilled that he could be with us, but also more than anyone I know, committed to something that is American on East and West Coast, the salmon. Mm-hmm. How did the salmon do in this new record heat? Like, it's really serious.
Yeah, it's a problem. They have, you know, hoot owl restrictions, they call them, on rivers, particularly in Canada, the Atlantic provinces where we do fish for Atlantic salmon. If the water temperature is at or above, let's say 70 degrees Fahrenheit, it's sort of unethical to even try to catch and release a fish. So it's been challenging.
Where's the water temperature right now? Because Paul's saying it's bath water off the New Jersey shore.
It's been problematic, but in certain areas in Quebec and Labrador and Newfoundland, the water temps have been just, you know, reasonably fine, and the fishing's been reasonably good. So.
Okay, we can get on with the show now.
Yeah, there we go.
How often do you talk about salmon fishing? Aaron, what do you make of this bond market here? Is it, from your perspective, is it yields higher for longer? Is that the world we're in now?
Well, it's interesting, Paul. We see two-year yields at 4.20-ish this morning, and the upper bound of the Fed funds rate is at 3.75. And now we have expectations after the employment data on Friday of a September rate hike moving from like 60% to 40%. And so it would argue to me that, you know, unless we start seeing inflation data pick up, or we see, you know, this week we have CPI and PPI, maybe retail sales proves to be extraordinarily strong as well. It looks like the market is leaning towards the Fed not doing anything, and that would suggest that the front end of the curve is actually relatively attractive here going forward.
So how much credit risk are you suggesting your clients take these days? Because, again, some of these coupons just in the Treasury market seem pretty darn attractive in and of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think the investment grade market, obviously, historically, spreads are very tight, high yields tight. But at the end of the day, you know, high yields outperform investment grade, and high yields outperform treasuries in the broader Bloomberg Aggregate Bond Index. And why is that? Well, the average duration of the high yield index is shorter. We've generally taken the view that we want to keep duration a little shorter, average maturity a little shorter here, given the rise in the front end part of the curve year to date.
Tell me about the equity market in that nearing August 15th, we start to reframe for a September 30 quarter ending. Do you have any visibility on an earnings stream ending September 30?
Well, Tom, you know, we've gone through now two, almost at the end of the second quarter of earnings, and which have just destroyed expectations. I mean, the beats are almost 90%, and we have about 10% of the companies remaining. I think it's all about rate of change going forward. You know, can we beat expectations that are already quite buoyant for the coming quarter? And that's a big bar.
But isn't it on a level analysis as well? Forget about this idiot 20% statistic. Even if the rate of change comes in, if we get double-digit earnings growth, there's a lot of confidence there for the market.
There is. And if you look at the return year to date of, you know, call it 14% for the S&P, 16% equal weight, 18, 19% for the NASDAQ, it's been driven all by earnings growth, not multiple expansion. So the valuation has not expanded on a year-to-date basis. And but what has really occurred, which I think is worth noting, is volatility under the hood has really been pronounced. The VIX is historically, you know, at average type levels, but the average stock, for example, in the S&P 500 this year has had a drawdown of about 24%, even though the S&P itself has only had a drawdown of 9%. And even more so on the NASDAQ, we've had a drawdown on average by about 42%. Even though the drawdown has only been for the index itself, 13%. So that, I think, is a story that hasn't been told sufficiently enough. There's a lot of rotation under the hood.
What is the AI story from your perspective these days? I'm sure you have these conversations with your clients all the time. How are you guys kind of positioned for that now?
Well, if we looked a month or two ago, Paul, we were in the middle of the SaaSpocalypse. Mm-hmm. And the idea that every software company was going out of business was, you know, very much weighing. And the momentum trade was very much in the semiconductor segment, particularly memory. You know, we think that there's now been probably some differentiation that is going to start to take hold in the marketplace, where the idea that you can apply models that are cheaper, that are almost going to become utilities, not all models, but many of them, and that those can be input into software companies, providing significant opportunity to capture margin once again within particular segments of that market. So we're looking at that. Cloud growth's been robust. Mm-hmm. Data center growth's been robust. So the return on invested capital there looks, you know, quite solid going forward.
Aaron Kenneth, thank you so much.